I received an email from some missionaries of our church. It was from Mark and Kathy Horner. I told them I was going to be using them in the sermon today. But I received an email from them, and they wrote this in that email. Just this morning, we heard about this good news. In Arizona, the Child Evangelism Fellowship is coupling faith with works as they minister to detainees. Here is an excerpt from an email from Brian Hughes, State Director in Arizona. CEF is working along the border in Yuma, Arizona. They've been distributing Do You Wonder Why booklets. I'm sure they're booklets that tell about the gospel of Jesus. Do You Wonder Why booklets at refugee shelters, and recently received permission, and then it was in brackets, previously denied. They received permission to conduct Bible clubs. From a local worker in the Yuma area, they said, went to a meeting with President Trump's pastor, head of the Border Patrol, and church leaders, including Salvation Army. And the commander, I guess it was of Salvation Army, said yes. It now appears that we have the okay for 5-day clubs at the Salvation Army Migrant Holding Facility. Praise God. So, pray. The doors for CEF, Child Evangelism Fellowship, are swinging wide open. Praise God with us for this open door, and pray for workers that we need to share God's love with those along the border in Yuma, Arizona. He said, the door previously was closed. Now the door is swinging wide open. Praise God with us for open doors. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Praise God for open doors. We are in our missions month. And the missions team, and I thank God for Rich Moon and all the workers on our missions team. We have a wonderful missions team. They chose for this year's missions conference, the theme is open doors. Across the street or around the world. Amen. Open doors. And so this morning, I want to speak to you on open doors. Now, it's interesting. I was somewhat surprised as I looked at this theme in the New Testament of how much the Bible, the New Testament, has to say about open doors. Open doors. Now, before I begin going into the message, I want to define to you what the definition is of open doors. Now, this is the official definition of an open door, because it's my definition. That I get from Scripture. Okay? So what is an open door? Here it is. An open door is a divine opportunity. A divine opportunity to minister for the Lord. A divine opportunity to minister for the Lord, and specifically to share God's word and the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we're talking about. It's a divine opportunity for ministry for the Lord. And specifically, to share God's word and to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And by the way, thank you, Andre. We are all ambassadors for Christ. It's just not the pastor. It's just not the elders or the church leaders. Guess what? You're a Christian? You're an ambassador for Christ. You are called to minister. Come on. This side said amen. Is there any amens on this side? This is a spiritual side over here. Praise God. Maybe I ought to stand over here and no. I'm going to tell you, we are all called to minister for Christ. And we're all ambassadors. And so today I want to talk about open doors. And as I look through Scripture, and there's a lot more that I can't even share, but I want to share with you this morning five truths about open doors, okay? Five truths about open doors. Truth number one is this. God is the one who provides open doors. God opens doors. You see this. The open doors, divine opportunities. They are divine opportunities because it's God who opens the door. It's divine. And that's confirmed by the fact, if you look up all the scriptures and talk about open doors, you find that God is always there. Or a divine presence is always there. Or a divine presence is at least implied in that context. Let me give you some, for instance, Acts 14:27. Acts 14:27, you put that down. When Paul and Barnabas returned home from their first missionary journey, they came back to the sending church to give a report. Well, that's good for missionaries to come back and give a report, right? That's a good thing. And they came back to give a report of their missionary journey. In Acts 14:27, we read this. It says, they gave a report of all things that God had done with them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. Now, I liked how that's put. They gave a report not of all that they had done. That would not be a testimony. That would be a bragamony. There's a difference. They gave a report of all that God had done with them. God uses people, but unless God does work, the work's not going to get done. It was a testimony of all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. You see, God is the one who gives open doors. Now, another verse. If you look in the book of the Revelation, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 7. In Revelation, John was told to write letters to seven churches. And one of the churches he was to write to was the church of Philadelphia. And in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 7, we read, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, he who is holy, who is true, who has the key of David, who opens doors that no man shuts, and he shuts doors that no man opens. Right. Say this. I know your deeds. Behold, I have put before you an open door which no one can shut. See, it was God. God said, I have put an open door before you that no man shuts. You know, many people refer to the Church of Philadelphia as the Church of the Open Door. It was the missionary church. It was the missionary church of all the seven churches. And God said that he had put before them an open door. Now, what was that open door? Well, you know, the city of Philadelphia, it was located in Asia Minor. It's located in present-day Turkey. And it was located on the trade route, on the post route between Rome and the East. It was, you know, people traveling from the West to the East would come through Philadelphia. And people traveling from the East to Rome, to the West, would come through the city of Philadelphia. They were constantly having new people coming in and out and through the city. Many visitors, travelers came through the city. Listen, providing an open door to the church to share with them the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They had constant new people coming in. And God said, I've laid an open door before you, an open door. He had planted that church in a strategic place. Strategic place. And God said, it's an open door. Tremendous divine opportunity. God provided them with an open door to minister the gospel. They are all around us. They're all around us. There are open doors all around us. Did you hear what he said in that verse when he said, bolt! I have placed an open door before. Behold! You know what that means? Get your eyes open. Open your eyes. They're all around. Opportunities that God has given each and every one of us to minister for God, to minister for Christ, to share His love, to share the gospel, to share a word of Scripture with someone. They're all around. You know what, folks? To be a foreign missionary, you used to have to, what? Go across the ocean. Not anymore. Not anymore. You don't have to go across the ocean to be a foreign missionary. For many of us, all we got to do is go across the street. God has brought the world to us. Have you seen it? I'm going to tell you, Linda and I took our granddaughter, Lucy, down to Waterworks Park, down to the playground down there. I could not believe. I don't know how many countries were there, how many people from how many countries were there, but I'm going to tell you, we were the minority. They're all around us. People that need Jesus. He brings like scholars over to Kent State so that we can minister to them. Huh, Bob? Say amen, brother. Come on. They're all around us. God is giving us open doors. But it's not just with people coming here. He's opening up schools. Child Evangelism Fellowship. They're inviting people to come in. Come do the clubs. They're hurting. I talked to a minister a month and a half ago, and he told me, I'm not going to believe this, but the local public school has asked him to come in to be the chaplain of a school. And he's now in a public school as a chaplain. Can you imagine that? You think that's an open door? My, oh, my. But it's not just certain things like that. Do you know what? There's open doors in your neighborhood. Somebody moves into your neighborhood. You know what? That's an open door. Go show the love of Jesus. You know what? What would they think if you came over with a pie? Especially if it was like a chocolate pie. I mean, they'd love it, right? French silk. Oh! And you gave them the pie and said, welcome to the neighborhood. We just want to just tell you, you know, we just want to share love with you. You know what? Open door. What about somebody you know that is sick? And maybe you go to the hospital, you're sick. You know what? Brother Andre, open door. Huh? Open door. You see, can I pray with you? I'll tell you what, you get somebody really sick, and you go say, can I pray with you? I haven't had anybody say, no, don't pray for me. Or share a verse of scripture with them. Can I share some hope out of God's word? It's an open door. You see, listen, they're all around us. Amen. I'm going to tell you, they're all around us. Behold. Remember what they said to Jesus? The disciples came to him and they're talking to him, and Jesus said, you say there are 4 months and then comes the harvest. What did Jesus say? I say to you, lift up your eyes. Look on the harvest field. They're ripe on the harvest. They're all around us. And it's God who gives open doors. That's truth number one. Truth number two. Closed doors can lead to open doors. Take your Bibles. I want you to turn to Acts 16. Acts chapter 16. Take your Bibles or take your phones. Bring your Bibles. I know I'm going to get kicked out of church, but that's okay. Open your Bibles or your phones to Acts and verses 4 through 10. Very interesting what it says here. It says, starting in verse 4, and this is, well, let me just read. Now, while they were passing through the cities, they were delivering the decrees which had been decided upon by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem for them to observe. Here we have Paul, Silas, and now Timothy. They returned to the churches that Paul and Barnabas had established on the first missionary journey. And they're delivering to them the decrees of what is called the Jerusalem Council. And encouraging and strengthening the churches. Verse 5, so the churches were being strengthened in faith and were increasing in number daily. Verse 6, they passed through the Phrygian and the Galatian region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak a word in Asia. It seems that Paul, you see, we're in Asia Minor. We're in modern-day Turkey. And they had traveled up and they had visited the churches. You remember Lystra and Derbe and Pisidian Antioch. They visited these places where they had established churches on their first missionary journey. So they passed through, they encouraged them. And then it seems from the text that Paul wants to go down into Asia, which is the southwestern mainly portion of Turkey today, or Asia Minor. He says, man, those people down there, they need Jesus. They need the gospel. I'm going to go down there. And you know what God did? Close the door. Do you see it? You see what it says there? It says that the Holy Spirit closed the door. It closed the door. He wanted to go down into Asia, and the Spirit of God forbade them. Do you see that there in verse 6? Having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit. Well, don't they need Jesus? Yeah, they do need Jesus. But you're not to go there. There's a closed door. Okay. Well, maybe we should go up north to Bithynia. They need Jesus up there. I'm going to go north to Bithynia. Look what it says. It says, and after they came to Mysia, they were trying to go into Bithynia. And the Spirit of Jesus didn't permit them. You know what God did? Closed the door. By this time, I don't know, I'm just putting myself in Paul's shoes. I'm going, what in the world? I'm here to minister. I'm an ambassador for Christ. I want to go tell them down in Asia, south. And you say, no, I want to go up north to Bithynia and tell them about Jesus. And the Spirit of Jesus says, no, you're not permitted to go up there? What's up? What's up? And I've come from the east, and I can't go south, and I can't go north. So I guess, go west, young man, go west. God closed doors. But God then opened a door. Look at verse 9. Well, verse 8. And passing by Mysia, they came to Troas. Verse 9. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. When he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Do you see it? Here, God closes this door, God closes this door, but now he comes to Troy and an open door. I mean, it was a great open door. Come over. We need your help over here in Macedonia. And Paul and his band become the first formal missionaries to Europe. Amen. A great open door. And God opens the door. Not only did he open that door, but I'll tell you what, he blessed Paul in Troas, because in Troas is where he picked up Luke. He picked up his own personal physician. And boy, did he need one. Every place he went, he got beat up. And he needed a physician, and God gave him a physician. He opened a door to him. You see, closed doors led to an open door or an open opportunity. And I want to tell you, folks, closed doors can, and many times do, lead to open doors. Have you ever been endeavoring to do something for God and the door closes? And you wonder, what's up, God? My heart, you know my heart. I want to minister for you. And the door's closed. What are we doing, God? Well, God sometimes closes. You know, in Revelation 3:7, where it says that God opens doors that no man shuts, what else does it say? He closes doors that no man opens. The God of the open door is the God of the closed door. Amen. And sometimes God has to close doors so that he can use us more effectively at another open door. And God does that. God does that. You see, when he shuts a door in your life, God can use that shut door to guide us and to lead us to greater opportunities. I talked to a person this week, very interesting, and they shared with me their story. And they said, back a while, and they said, I got fired from my job. And he said, I was so upset. I was mad. It was so unfair. I came home and I was just so upset. My wife had to kind of calm me down, but I was upset. It was so unfair. But it wasn't long after that I got another job. And the job that I'm now at and doing is in a local public school. And Pastor, you would not believe the opportunities I have to share Jesus Christ with the students. He said, I get a chance every day to tell people about Christ. I was so upset that I lost this job and got fired. But God opened a door here in the public school. And now, I'll tell you what, people are hearing Jesus' name in the public school. He said, praise God. Closed doors can lead to open doors. And again, you may have a closed door in your life. You may be, you know, this, I wanted to do this and it's closed. Keep your eyes open. because God can open a greater door to use you for the glory of God. God gives open doors. Closed doors, and he's the God of the closed doors too, can lead to open doors. And then thirdly, a third truth about open doors, listen to this, a godly response to suffering can lead to open doors. Listen to this. A godly response to suffering can lead to open doors. And we're just going to stay in Acts 16 because Paul and his band come over to Europe and they come to this city by the name of Philippi. Philippi. And they minister in Philippi, preach the gospel. And you remember in verses 11 through 15, Lydia gets saved. A woman named Lydia gets saved. But they're ministering there in the city. And I went into the whole story, but there's a young girl there with a spirit of fortune telling. They end up casting out that spirit. And her owner, her master, made a lot of money out of her telling fortunes. And so he's ticked off because he's not going to be able to do that anymore. So he rouses up the crowds. And Paul and Silas are taken. And they beat them with rods. Imagine that. They beat them with rods. And they throw them into the prison. Throw them into prison. It says, if you look down in verse 23 of chapter 16, when they had struck them with many blows, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. And he, having received such a command, threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. And you know, just about that time, you know what I'd have been doing? I'd have been throwing a party. You know what kind of party? Pity party, that's right. I mean, I've tried to serve you, God, and I've been preaching the gospel, and this is what I get. You ever throw a pity party? No, and I know you don't. Just pastors do that, right? That's what I'd have been doing. But you know what? Him and Silas, they weren't throwing a pity party, were they? They were doing what? Throwing a Jesus party. They were throwing a praise party. Down in verse 25, but about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. Oh boy, there's people that listen. There's people that are watching. They were listening. And suddenly there came a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken. And listen, and immediately all the doors were opened. All the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were unfastened. Wow. See, that, I'll tell you, they responded. That is a godly response. That's a supernatural response. Amen? Because when you've been beat up, and when you're in a dark, damp prison with your feet in stocks, it's not natural to be praising and singing and praying and that's not natural. That's supernatural. That's the Christian response. And so what happened? And again, we read, when the jailer awoke and saw the prison doors opened, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself. If he let anybody escape, he forfeited his life. So he said, I might as well end my life, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice saying, do not harm yourself. For we're all here. And he called for lights and he rushed in and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. And after he brought them out, he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Amen. You talk about an open door. I'll tell you, what an open door. You know, tell me how to become a Christian. I want to be saved. You see, a proper response, a supernatural Christian response in suffering, open doors. Open doors. And you know what, folks? When we go through suffering, you hear what I said? Not if. When we go through suffering. And we respond with faith in Jesus Christ, trusting the Lord. When we go through suffering and we have joy. When we go through turmoil and we have peace. When we go through frustration day after day and have patience. When we go through these things and have the fruit of the Holy Spirit, it opens doors. I mean, people may even come up to us and say, how can you do that? Andre, how can you rejoice and be praying when you're going through dialysis and all these other people? How can you do that, brother? By the grace of God. How can you do that? How can you lose that loved one and have peace? How can you do that? In fact, somebody might even come up to us and say, sir, ma'am, what must I do to be saved? You see, because when we respond supernaturally in the power of the Holy Spirit, it opens doors. People, listen to me. People are listening. People are watching our lives. And that kind of response, which is, it makes no sense to the world. It opens doors. And when they come and say, how can you do that? Jesus. Amen. He's the one. Grace of God. Amen. Grace of God. That's the only way I can do it. And it opens doors. Praise God. Praise God. Come on, talk to me. Talk to me. Hey, I know in the African American church, they talk to the pastor. That's okay. That's okay. You can talk to me. Amen. Praise God. Number four. Truth number four. Listen to this. Open opposition often accompanies open doors. This is big. When God supplies open doors, we should expect that there's going to be opposition. Expect it. Take your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter, take your phones, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And 1 Corinthians chapter 16, Paul is concluding his letter. And he shares with them about his future plans. In verses 5 through 9, 1 Corinthians 16, 5 through 9. But in verses 8 and 9, listen to what he says. He writes this, but I will remain in Ephesus until Pentecost for a wide door for effective service has been opened to me. I'm going to stop there. Has been opened to me. Paul said, I'm going to stay here in Ephesus because a wide door, it's a mega door. King James says a great door. It's a mega door. Has been opened to me. But look what he says next. And there are many adversaries. Yeah. Many adversaries. When God opens doors, listen, saints, expect opposition. Expect it. Why, Pastor? Why should we expect opposition? Because we have an adversary. We have an enemy who hates God, who hates Christians, who hates the work of God to go forward. So when we have an open door to share the gospel, expect it. There's going to be, Open doors, open opposition. Open opposition. John MacArthur puts it this way: in the present age, there's no such thing as an authentic ministry without problems and opposition of some sort. Satan will see to it. A work that has little opposition from the antagonistic system of Satan is one that is doing little work for the Lord. G. Campbell Morgan said this. He said that if you have no opposition in the place you serve, you're serving in the wrong place. So when you have an open door, and God does, they're all around us. When you have an open door, when you seek to take that open door, take that opportunity to serve the Lord, don't be surprised if there's open opposition, criticism, attacks, people trying to oppose you. Don't be surprised at that. That's normal. And that's probably an indication that you're doing something for the Lord. If there's no opposition, probably Satan's just saying, go ahead, let him do that thing. He's not accomplishing anything, or she's not accomplishing anything anyhow. But when we have those open doors from the Lord, and we go through those open doors, and we serve the Lord, I'll tell you what, there's going to be opposition. There's going to be obstacles. But I like what someone said, the difference between a pessimist and an optimist. He said a pessimist sees an obstacle in every opportunity, and an optimist sees an opportunity in every obstacle. And so don't let attacks, if you're serving the Lord and you're walking through that door, don't let attacks discourage you. Probably should encourage you. Because when you have open doors, there's going to be open opposition. Number five and last. This is vague. Prayer can lead to open doors. Prayer. And the principle is this. I shared this with our prayer chairman this morning. For reasons God only knows, God has ordained to use prayer to get his will done on earth. You know what? God could do all of this by himself. And much better than we do. But he is ordained to use prayer to get his will done here on earth. He is ordained to use prayer to open doors. Matthew 7:7-8. You know these verses. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door will be open. What are we talking about there? What's this ask, seek, and knock? What are we talking about? Prayer! Pray! You ask, you receive. You seek, you'll find. You knock in prayer, it's going to be open unto you. It's going to be open. Let me give you an illustration of this. And why don't you, again, back to Acts. Turn to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. And I just love this story. It tells the story about how Peter was arrested. You remember Peter was arrested and he was in jail. He was chained up to soldiers. He's in jail. He's awaiting. The next day they're going to bring Peter out to be tried. But look at verse 5. So Peter was kept in the prison. Listen to this. But prayer for him was being made fervently by the church of God. Prayer was being made, not just, oh Lord, if you get around to it. They're beseeching God. They're crying out to God, God, we need Peter. Deliver Peter, Lord. Help him, Lord. They got together in a prayer meeting and cried out to God. I'll tell you, they were desperate. And I'll tell you what, when we get desperate, we'll all show up on Wednesday night. I'm going to tell you, I thank God, 40 people now showing up on Wednesday night. But when you get desperate, you show up, and it says many were gathered there. Many. So what happened? If you look down through the story, they're praying, God deliver them. And God sends an angel. Can prayer discharge angels from heaven? Oh, yeah. And the angel comes down, comes into the prison. Peter's sleeping there, kicks Peter, says, Peter, get up. And his chains fall off. He says, get your coat on, follow me. It says they went past the first guard. Then they went past the second guard. Then they came to an iron door. Now, just picture this. It's an iron gate, an iron door. When I thought of that, you know what I thought of? I thought of when I used to go down to the prison, down to the Summit County Jail and do Bible studies. I'll never forget the first time I went to the jail to do a Bible study. And you would go up, I think it was on the second floor, and you would come into a cage area. They'd open the cage, and then you would sign in, and then somebody would call out, open the red door! And there was a big steel door, painted red. I mean, I'll never forget it, because that, you know, that door open. And I'll never forget walking through that door and then hearing, ka-ching! And I'm thinking, oh my, I'm in jail. What's going to happen now? You know, and then I had to go up the elevator up to where they had chapel. But I'll never, that first time, man, I was scared. I'm going to tell you. But I think of that steel door. Well, here's an iron door in front of them. Now, let them there. Let's go back to Mary's house. Many had gathered, and they're praying, Lord, get Peter out, deliver Peter. They're crying out to God. And you know what happened? That iron door. Let's read it. What does it say? This is exciting. This is really exciting. Where are we? I can't even find it. Okay, it says, verse 10, and when they had passed the first and second guard, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened for them by itself. Amen. They didn't go over and kick on the door. They didn't get a battering ram and let's get the door open. It opened by itself. But not really by itself. Because the prayers were going up and the doors were being opened. Prayer opens doors. It does. It opens doors. And so Peter comes out and he, oh, this is real. He thought he was having a vision. And he goes beelines to Mary's house. He gets to Mary's house and knocks on the door. A little girl named Rhoda comes to the door. And Peter recognizes his voice. And this is, I love this. Because you couldn't make this up, right? I mean, she's so excited, she doesn't open the door. She runs back into the prayer meeting and says, Peter's here. Can you imagine that? I mean, here's Peter still out there knocking on the door, and she runs back, Peter's here. And what is the response of the saints? They're saying, no, that can't be Peter. We're praying that God releases him. He's in jail. Must be his angel. I mean, do you ever get surprised by the answers of God? I mean, we should be more surprised when God doesn't answer than when he does answer. And they're surprised. Wow. And they, well, it must be his angel. And Peter's out there. Let me in, let me in. And they come to the door, open the door, and whoa, it's Peter. I love it. It's laugh out loud, man. This is great. Because prayer opens doors. You say, well, physical door. But yeah, but it led to spiritual doors. Because Peter was he was the apostle to the Jews. He became the leader of church. Acts 15, he's the leader in the Jerusalem council. I mean, it led to open opportunities to serve Jesus. Because prayer opens doors. So, now, we're going to conclude, but turn to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. Paul, knowing this, Paul knew prayer opens doors. And he writes to the Colossian church, and look what he says in chapter 4, Colossians 4, verses 2. I'm just going to do 2 through 4. He says, devote yourself to prayer. Don't just pray occasionally, just before you eat. Devote yourself to prayer. Keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Praying at the same time for us as well. Pray for me, he says. What should we pray, Paul? That God will open up to us a door for the word so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ for which I have been imprisoned. Did you catch it? Paul's where? He's in jail. And he didn't say, hey guys, pray for me that I get out of jail. He didn't say, pray that God would open the jail doors. He said, pray that I have open doors to share forth the mystery of Christ. That I may tell people about Jesus. Pray for open doors. Pray that I would open my mouth and speak. You know, because sometimes God gives us open doors and we don't speak. We lack the boldness. So pray that there's open doors. Pray that I would have open my mouth and that I would speak. And pray when I speak that I'll be clear. That I'll be clear. Pray, kiss. Keep it simple, stupid. You know, just the pure gospel. Pray that I'd be clear. Do you know what the gospel is? The gospel is that Jesus Christ came and died for your and my sins. He took the full punishment, all of God's wrath, which I deserved, which you deserved, he took it upon himself. He bore our sins in his body on the cross. He died for us. And he rose from the dead. He's a living Savior. He is Lord. And if you will, by faith, the channel of faith, receive. Receive, believe, not just believe it here, but receive Christ in your heart. You will be saved. You will be forgiven all your sins. Hallelujah. Praise God. But more than that, he took your sins. He took my sins. But then he took his righteousness and he puts it to our account. So that right now in Christ, you're a Christian, you're in Christ, you're as righteous as Jesus Christ himself in God's eyes. Glory be to God. That's the good news. The bad news is you're going the wrong way. That's the bad news. We're going on the wrong way. All we like sheep have gone astray and we've all turned to our own way. And you can't just keep on in your way and receive Christ. You got to turn. That's repentance. You got to see that you're a sinner. And in your sin, you're separated from God and the wrath of God abides on you. But when you see that and you feel that weight like Pilgrim's Progress. Remember Pilgrim with a pack on his back? And he felt that burden, but he turned. And he believed, he saw the cross and he believed in the pack. Roll down Calvary's Mount. That's the gospel. pray for open doors. Pray that I would have the boldness and the fullness of the Holy Spirit to speak forth the mystery of Christ. Pray that I make it clear. Pray that I make it clear. I'll tell you what, this is the challenge. I know I've got to quit. But this is the challenge, folks. Will you? You're an ambassador for Christ. My challenge to us this week, every day, wake up and pray, God, give me open doors. Lord, give me a divine appointment today. And don't let me miss the appointment. Because he's given me sometimes appointments and I've missed them. Don't let, have my eyes, I want to see, Lord, I want to see that open door. Don't let me miss it. And then God, through your Holy Spirit, give me the boldness to speak and help me to make it clear. Folks, God gives open doors. Closed doors can lead to open doors. When we go through suffering and we, not that we don't feel the suffering, we do feel the suffering and it stinks. But when we can rejoice in that suffering, it can open doors. And then when those doors open, don't forget, there may be opposition. Don't let that discourage you. And pray. Let's pray for open doors. And by the way, let me just say this, two things. I think as we move over to our new church, which should take place soon, patience in frustration. Thank you, Lord. It's going to be an amazing open door. Hey, come on to our church. We just got a new sanctuary. Come on to our church. Bring somebody to church. There are going to be open seats, open doors to invite people. And then you can take them out afterwards and share the gospel with them. Take them to lunch. Buy them a French silk pie. And share the gospel with them. It's going to be a great open door. And by the way, right now, let me just say this in closing. Right now, we have a great open door. If you're here this morning and you are not saved, you say, what do you mean, Pastor? You're not sure whether you're going to go to heaven when you die. If you have never personally received Christ as your personal Savior, I'm not saying believe, I'm not saying go to church, because you can grow up in a church. There's a danger of growing up in a church. Because sometimes we think we have it when we really don't. But this is a tremendous open door. The door's open. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And I would just invite you to publicly declare that. As you come today and just say, I've decided to follow Jesus. The door's open. The door's open. Lord, thank you that you are the God of who opens doors that no man shuts, and you shut doors that no man opens. And we thank you so much, Lord, for the glorious gospel that you have entrusted to us. You've entrusted the gospel to us. I pray, Lord, I pray with all my heart, God, that this week you would show us the open doors that are all around us. Show us, Lord. Give us open doors. We pray for that, Lord. We pray for the boldness of the Holy Spirit. I remember when the early church, when they prayed, the place where they were was shaken. And they were all filled with the Spirit and went out and proclaimed boldly the good news about Jesus. Do that, Lord, with us. Fill us with your Spirit and fill us with the boldness to speak for you. And Lord, continue to remind us to pray for open doors. And Lord, for those that need to come to Christ, have mercy and grace. The door is open. Amen.
Amen. Would you please?